An east wind blew through his tangled hair, as soft and fragrant as Circe's fingers. He could hear birds singing, and feel the river moving beneath the boat as the sweep of the oars sent them toward the pale pink dawn. After so long in darkness, the world was so sweet that Jaime Lannister felt dizzy. "I am alive and drunk on sunlight." A laugh burst from his lips, sudden as a quail flush from cover. "Quiet," the wench grumbled, scowling. Scowl suited her broad, homely face better than a smile. Not that Jaime had ever seen her smiling. He amused himself by picturing her in one of Cersei's silken gowns in place of a studded leather jerkin. "As well dress a cow in silk as this one." But the cow could row. Beneath her rough-spun brown breeches were calves like cords of wood, and the lung muscles of her arms stretched and tightened with each stroke of the oars. Even after rowing half the night, she showed no signs of tiring, which was more than could be said for his cousin, Sir Cleos, labouring on the other oar. "A big, strong peasant wench to look at, yet she speaks like one high-born, and wears longsword and dagger. Ah, but can she use them?" Jaime meant to find out, as soon as he'd rid himself of these fetters. He wore iron manacles on his wrists and a matching pair about his ankles, joined by a length of heavy chain no more than a foot long. "You'd think my word as a Lannister was not good enough," he japed as they bound him. He'd been very drunk by then, thanks to Catelyn Stark. Of their escape from River Run he recalled only bits and pieces. There had been some trouble with the jailer, but the big wench had overcome him. After that they had climbed an endless stair around and around. His legs were weak as grass, and he'd stumbled twice or thrice until the wench lent him an arm to lean on. At some point he was bundled into a traveller's cloak and shoved into the bottom of a skiff. He remembered listening to Lady Catelyn command someone to raise the portcullis on the watergate. She was sending Sir Cleos Frey back to King's Landing with new terms for the Queen. She declared in a tone that brooked no argument. He must have drifted off then. The wine had made him sleepy, and it felt good to stretch, a luxury his chains had not permitted him in the cell. Jaime had long ago learned to snatch sleep in the saddle during a march. This was no harder. "Tyrion is going to laugh himself sick when he hears how I slept through my own escape." He was awake now, though, and the fetters were irksome. "My lady," he called out, "if you strike off these chains, I'll spell you at those oars." She scowled again, her face all horse teeth and glowering suspicion. "You'll wear your chains, Kingslayer. You figure to row all the way to King's Landing, wench? You will call me Brian, not wench. My name is Sir Jaime, not Kingslayer. Do you deny that you slew a king?" "No. Do you deny your sex? If so, unlace those breeches and show me." He gave her an innocent smile. "I'd ask you to open your bodice, but from the look of you, that wouldn't prove much." Sir Cleos fretted. "Cousin, remember your courtesies." The Lannister blood runs thin in this one. Cleos was his Aunt Jenna's son by that dullard Eamon Frey, who had lived in terror of Lord Tywin Lannister since the day he wed his sister. When Lord Walder Frey had brought the twins into the war on the side of River Run, Sir Eamon had chosen his wife's allegiance over his father's. "Castle Rock got the worst of that bargain," Jaime reflected. Sir Cleos looked like a weasel, fought like a goose, and had the courage of an especially brave ewe. Lady Stark had promised him release if he delivered her message to Tyrion, and Sir Cleos had solemnly vowed to do so.